Welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by Upstate Medical University and University Hospital. This is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate, along with my co-host for our monthly ethics conversations, Difficult Decisions in Healthcare, Dr. Gregory Eastwood from Upstate Center for Bioethics and Humanities. Welcome back, Dr. Eastwood.
It's great to be back.
Are we sick of hearing about healthcare reform just yet?
Well, I'm not sick. I wish we could go a little bit further, in fact.
Well, you know, one topic that wasn't addressed was tort reform, and so we thought we would tackle that one this morning. I think that's probably an aspect that listeners really haven't thought too much about, and I know I've thought a lot less about it than I probably should have. We have a guest who's going to bring some expertise and dimension to the project, the conversation this morning. Will you introduce him?
I sure will, but I'll just comment on the word tort.
Okay.
It's a word you see on crossword puzzles,
yes,
T-O-R-T.
It's not a cake in this case.
But it is related to medical mistakes and malpractice and so on.
So anyway. And so what would tort reform refer to?
Well, I think it would just be reform. Well, we're going to talk about that.
Okay.
But it's just to give you a little heads up, it's reform of the legal system and
of the massive costs that are involved in lawsuits. Well, please do introduce our guest before we get any further.
The first credential is he's been a friend and colleague for over 15 years. Is Dr. Greg Threet. He's the professor and chair of our own Department of Pathology here at SUNY Upstate Medical University College of Medicine. And he also had the distinction of being the president of the Onondaga County Medical Society last year and remains active in that group, as well as the American Medical Association. And he is our local expert on tort reform and medical malpractice issues.
Well, welcome to HealthLink On Air, Dr. Threet. We are honored to have you here. I think it's great to have an expert in tort reform and all questions. Thanks for coming this morning.
Okay. I don't know how I got to be the expert, but I have certainly been in a lot of debates about it.
You have. All right. Well, that's a good place to start. All right. Why are we talking about tort reform?
Well, this is a big issue. It's an emotional issue for patients. It's an emotional issue, certainly a very stressful issue for physicians. The other ingredient there are lawyers, and one could say it might be stressful for them, but we'll get into that a little bit later. But also, it's big money, big bucks, and we'll talk about the specifics of that a little later. But it contributes significantly to the cost of a practice, of running a practice of medicine or surgery or OBGYN, what have you. And also contributes significantly to the overall healthcare costs in the United States of America.
It does. And you know, I'd like to make a little bit of a distinction here because, and Dr. Threet, tell me if you agree with me. I look at tort reform as being something about the legal system, but I look at its basis in medical malpractice as being something that's about patients and doctors.
Right.
Would you agree with that?
Right. And I think it dramatically affects the relationship between patients and doctors. Not only in the adverse situation where it goes wrong, where something goes wrong. I think you going to have your blood pressure checked.
Yes.
You paying for that visit to have your blood pressure checked, a significant part of that payment is going into the liability system. And so you're paying for it, whether you realize you're paying for it when you think you're paying for health care.
You know, it's a great distinction. So let's talk about that a little bit more. And Dr. Eastwood, I know you've brought us some statistics, but let's look at that. I go to visit my doctor to get my blood pressure checked, and I think that I'm paying a $25 copay out of my pocket, and I get that statement from my insurer that says they've paid $75 for that visit. And I have to say, whoa, another $50? Where's that $50 going? Are you suggesting to me that part of it is going because of the legal system and not the medical system?
I believe it is. It's definitely going. It's hard to quantify, though.
Sure.
Okay. You know, a certain percentage of the physician's income, depending upon the specialty, goes into paying insurance. Now, nobody goes to see a pathologist, but
not in a general basis, except maybe
not
a visit.
Intentionally.
Yep. They may go, but they don't see them.
Okay. And my malpractice rate is fairly low.
Okay.
But, for instance, in New York City and Long Island, Neurosurgeons and particularly obstetric gynecologists are paying in the $150,000 to $170,000 a year range for malpractice. So if they're paying $150,000 to $170,000 a year to pay malpractice insurance, how much of that visit is going just to pay that insurance bill?
That's an incredible number. I mean, I want listeners to stop and think about that. Most of us don't live in houses that are worth as much as these doctors are paying in 1 year just for insurance.
Right.
That's just for insurance.
Another way of saying that is a doctor like an OBGYN doctor may have to work 4 to 6 months of the year simply to pay off. I know this from personal experience from a close relative of mine who practiced OBGYN in Massachusetts.
And it's because there are so many problems when babies are born. Mm-hmm. And whether or not that is medical malpractice is part of the conversation we're going to have here. But when people stop and think about it, as you said, you as a pathologist, you don't run into things that are being done wrong. But an OBGYN or a neurologist, somebody who is working in a really sensitive part of the body, definitely there are more opportunities for something to go wrong. Give us some of these big numbers, Dr. Eastwood, because I want people to understand that when they see those ads on TV with all those attorneys saying you should be suing this person and you should be suing that person and you should be suing the next person, I want people to understand that even if they would never consider doing that themselves, this is still coming out of their pockets.
Okay. If you take the largest view that I can think of, that is the total amount of money that's spent in the United States for health care, that's roughly $2.5 trillion.
That's the T word, trillion.
Mm-hmm. That's larger than I can contemplate.
Right.
About 1% of that goes to medical malpractice, insurance premiums, and the like. However, that does not take into account what we call defensive medicine or just altering your practice to accommodate what we're talking about, the possibility of litigation.
And let's talk about how some of that happens, because now I, as the patient, I go to my doctor and I've got a set of symptoms. You, as the doctor, say, she's got this set of symptoms, I'm going to run test X.
I may want to order more tests than what I think are actually necessary.
Aha. So now I'm going to have more tests than I would have had to have if you weren't concerned that there might be a lawsuit someday.
Mm-hmm. That's the idea.
Let me give you an example. Kid is riding down the street on his bicycle, wrecks his bicycle, hits his head, and is knocked unconscious.
Okay.
Now, back 40 years ago when I was in medical school, maybe one out of 20 kids would wind up with a skull fracture and then wind up with complications due to that head injury.
Okay.
Okay. 19 out of 20 kids, they fell, hit their head, they'll fall and hit their head next month.
Right.
Okay. However, if you get sued for the one out of 20, then what I learned in medical school, head injury, get a skull X-ray.
So this child shows up in the emergency room.
Okay. So 19 kids get a X-ray of the skull, which in
now
those days...
An MRI days, now, though.
Yeah,
much more
that's what I'm hearing. In those days, that would be in a $50 extra charge times 19 to pick up the one skull fracture.
Sure.
That was 30 years ago. That has evolved to CAT scans and MRIs, which are now $300-$400
exactly.
a pop.
Exactly.
And so there are $300 to $400. So the estimate is annually, you can clearly call defensive medicine.
The cost is
about $50 billion a year.
Exactly. It's huge.
The estimate is that it could be as high as $200 billion a year.
Wow.
And that's $200 billion out of that.
Wow.
So
and
this
here's
is
the thing.
Everybody's paying for it.
As the patient or the mother of that child that fell when my child's in the emergency room, I want to make sure that you run all of those tests. I want to be sure that there is nothing missed and that my child is going to be 100% by the time all of this is over. And so it's not even just that the doctors are practicing defensive medicine. It's that the patients are supporting that because they think it's helpful to them. But it's expensive, isn't it?
It's very expensive. And what Greg, I'm a Greg too, by the way, but
Greg
Threet said is right. Somewhere around $50 to $200 billion a year. Even though it's on the low end of the percentage of the total health care costs, it could be saved if we did things another way. Also, that's total health care cost. But if you take the denominator of, and getting back to what we were talking about a little bit earlier, of what it costs to run a practice, when you go to the doctor and pay your bill, or your insurance company pays a bill and you pay a copay, it's probably running, depending upon the type of practice, if it's OBGYN, for example, it could be 30, 40, 50% wow. of the total income of that practice.
That is huge. And it also leads to things like cesarean sections. We keep reading that there are too many cesarean sections. Are those being done for defensive medicine purposes, or are those being done for the baby and the mother?
Well, it's clearly, okay, what causes cerebral palsy or
any of those problems, sure.
problems during delivery is when the baby gets into trouble and you don't deliver the baby quick enough.
That's right. And who's to blame? Is it the problem with the mom giving the birth, or is it the problem with the doctor not taking the baby quickly enough, or the method of birth? And you know what? We need to take a break here quickly for the news. When we come back, I actually want to pick up this conversation and shift it from just talking about the money and tort reform into medical malpractice, how patients look at it, how doctors look at it, and how lawyers are looking
and
at it, too.
And what we can do about it,
exactly
maybe.
Right. Very mm-hmm. good. Listeners, we will come back in just a few moments. Please stay with us through the news. This is Upstate's Health Link on air on 570 WSYR.